Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise as we bow our hearts before you to give you glory and honor, worship and praise, Lord, for who you are and for all that you are. Thanking you, O God, for unveiling your name to us, Lord. Unveiling your name within us, Father. Unveiling your name, O God, so that your name will be expressed through our lives, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are our life. We thank you that you are our refuge and our strength. We thank you that you are our living sanctuary, Lord. That in you do we live, move, and have our being. As we continue our series, O God, on the name of God, today, Father, we open, O God, the name Yahweh Shalom. And we ask you, Lord, to open that name to us, Lord, as a covenant name that we will understand and realize as being a name manifested in your victory in our lives, Lord. So we declare that you are our God, that you have done a great and awesome work in our lives. That, Lord, even as you bring us into a growing rest, Lord, that rest depicts, O God, a peace that is manifested in a victory over the evil one, Father, over his devices and over everything, O God, that he represents. And we thank you that through the blood of the Lamb, by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, a new creation is being unveiled in each one of us. We are being unveiled as living sanctuaries in which, Lord, your name will be manifested, O God. We thank you that you mean to unveil such an awesome reality within each one of us, because we are your sons, each one of us purchased in the blood of the Lamb, each one of us, O God, called to be fashioned and formed in the image and fullness of Christ Jesus. And you mean, O God, to manifest your presence within us. You mean, O God, to reveal who you are in us and through us, Lord. We thank you for your purposes in each one of our lives. Bless this time. Bless the word into our lives, Lord. And let this word, O God, fashion and form our realities, Lord. So that, Father God, we will live, move, and have our being in you, Lord. That we will see that victory, O God, that is our inheritance, Lord, being manifested in every area of our lives. As we grow in faith, as we realize that peace that passeth all understanding, Father, you are achieving, O God, a deep and wonderful reality within us, O God. The reality of the abiding, the reality of the indestructible, the reality, O God, of that which will continue to grow and mature forever in your great love, in your great victory in our lives. We bless you and thank you for being Yahweh Shalom to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Judges. The book of Judges. Chapter 6. From verse 7. Now it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you up from Egypt and brought you out from the house of slavery. And I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppressors, and dispossessed them before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me." Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Then Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" And he said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." So Gideon said to him, "If now I have found favor in thy sight, then show me a sign that it is thou who speakest with me. Please do not depart from here until I come back to thee, and bring out my offering and lay it before thee." And he said, "I will remain until you return." Then Gideon went in and prepared a kid and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. He put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot and brought them out to him under the oak and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said to him, peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, the Lord is peace, Yahweh Shalom. To this day it is still an Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Praise the Lord. Yahweh Shalom. One of the most powerful covenant names of God. Yahweh Shalom. That peace that is indestructible. That peace that God wants to manifest in our lives. If you carry on reading about how the Midianites were defeated, you will find that God manifested a victory in this reality of being Yahweh Shalom. So if you turn with me to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 verse 20. You will find these words. And the God of peace, which is Yahweh Shalom, will soon crush Satan under your feet. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And so this is the meaning of peace, victory. Victory over the evil one. Yahweh Nisi is God is our banner. Yahweh Mukadesh is God is our sanctifier. And Yahweh Shalom is God is our peace. And that peace is manifested as the victory is unveiled in our lives. That victory is fulfilled in our lives. So God has the intent of manifesting a peace that will destroy the works of Satan, destroy the realities of Satan. And Satan will be crushed under our feet. Let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. Verse 10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. My covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Praise the Lord. So God wants to manifest a covenant of peace with us. And that peace will be realized in the destruction of every fortress of darkness that imprisons us. And this is why you have to live your life and discover the victory of the Lord in your life. It is your duty to discover how God is going to win the victory in your life, to destroy the works of the enemy in your life, in your situations and in your circumstances. So this reality of an everlasting covenant of peace is to be manifested within us and amongst us. It will result in Satan being crushed under our feet. All right? So how is God going to manifest this peace to us? Right? Let's turn to the book of Micah. Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. Just for context, let's read from verse 2. And we're going to read to the first line of verse 5. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, for from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. And he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will remain. Because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth, and this one will be our peace. Who do you think he's talking about? Jesus Christ, right? And this one will be our peace. So God is describing here a peace not in a concept, not in a theology, not merely in a reality, but through a person. So Yahweh Shalom is manifested to us in a person, right? It is manifested to us in a person. It is manifested in us in a person, right? Just to look at this from another angle, let's look at John 17, verse 6, a passage of scripture you are all very familiar with. And here is the prayer Jesus Christ makes, and he says, Father, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Right, John chapter 17, verse 6. I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. So one of the manifestations of the name of God is Yahweh Shalom. And the manifestation is in a person. All right. Verse 26. And I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. And when Jesus comes alive in us, we have this peace. And this peace is unshakable. And God wants us to realize this peace. Now, this peace is not just a feeling. It is not just an emotion. It is not just a one-time thing. It is an abiding reality that God wants to build into you. So this peace that God wants to bring into your life is the peace that God has achieved in the victory of Jesus Christ that has been proven in your life. So David cries out in the Psalms, Thy word, O Lord, are tested. Thy words, O Lord, are tested. So when the words of God are tested in your life, the ultimate result is peace. And when God has manifested His peace within you, He's telling you that in that area of your life, He has brought you to victory. Right? He has brought you to victory. So Romans says that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. So God wants Satan to be crushed under our feet. The fact that he has been crushed under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ is something that has already happened. But now he has to be crushed under our feet. And the church of Jesus Christ must realize this peace in a victory over the evil one. And we're coming back again to God manifesting within us this victory in a witness that declares that Jesus is alive in us. Right? So you're finding that all of the covenant names of God are tied to you in very intimate terms to your inward parts. So we function in the name of our God in Jesus Christ at the speed of thought through the witness that God is developing within us. And so God wants to bring into us this peace that declares that God has achieved within us a victory. What is that victory? He's manifested within us a reality of Him that is so strong that we know that God is there. We know that that peace that passeth all understanding enables us to know that that the reality of God is there with us at all times. Things around us may be shaking. Things, situations and circumstances around us may be difficult or even frightening, but within us God is manifesting a peace that says that He has His hand upon your life. So whenever you have this peace, you know that the Lord your God is there with you. And always understand that this peace is what God wants to bring into your life as victory, so that you will break through every shackle of the enemy in your life, so that you will live by the Lord your God at all times. In whatever situation or circumstance that you're going into, in whatever area of your life, you have to realize this peace. And so all of us, if you find your life, you will find that God propels you into different areas in your life in order to bring that peace about. That peace has to be achieved. That peace has to be realized. That peace you have to take possession of as God manifests the testimony of Jesus within you. Are you with me? Right? So how does this peace manifest within us? All right? How does this peace manifest within us? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. So what is the Lord saying here? He's saying that through the flesh of the Lamb, he's manifesting a state of peace within us. And in that state of peace, he's abolishing the law and bringing forth a new creation. Right? He's breaking down the walls of enmity. In this specific case, God is talking of the enmity between Jew and Gentile. He's making one new man. Right? And that creation is manifested in a peace. So this covenant of peace that God wants to manifest in you is a creative work. He's bringing forth a new man. Right? He's bringing forth a new you. He's bringing forth a new you through the flesh of the Lamb. He's bringing forth a new creation. Right? He's bringing forth a new creation. Now we have talked quite a lot about the flesh of the Lamb, isn't it? We've talked about the flesh of the Lamb being the substance of his fullness. That Greek word, hypostasis. And we've done it in module after module. And you will find that ultimately God wants to manifest a new creation. And that peace is expressing what God has achieved in our lives. And he wants to bring forth a new creation. He wants to bring forth a new man. Right? So in the Christian faith, you must always understand that God is not sitting on a static plane. Right? He's bringing forth something in a very dynamic reality. He is trying to create you. And you have to be willing to cooperate with him and allow him to fashion you. And this process of fashioning you and me is a process that he is going to bring forth in the situations and circumstances of our life. Whatever it may be, whether it's in terms of your studies, it's in terms of your business, whether it's in terms of your ministry, whether it's in terms of your family life, whether it's in terms of your relationships, God is always pushing you forward to realize a new creation, right? New attitudes, new thinking processes, new abilities, the willingness to understand that God is taking you to a higher and higher plane. He's going to stretch you. He's going to stretch your imaginations. He's going to stretch your faith. Right? He's going to cause an increase in your life. He's going to bring a transformation and a change. He's going to bring forth a work that is his work. He's going to create you in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. He's not going to allow you to be what you were or what you are today. He is going to push you into realizing the fact that you are his son. You are his vessel. You are his vessel. So you and I must understand that God is going to do this through the flesh of the Lamb. Just to recap some of the things that we talked about the flesh of the Lamb, right? It starts with your heart, right? Ezekiel chapter 36, right? You know those verses. I just want to go over them again. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25, 26, and 27. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Right? So God means to create in us a heart of flesh. When we go to John 6:51, Jesus Christ tells us that reality of a heart of flesh is fashioned in who he is and all that he is as he unveils himself to us. So John chapter 6 verse 51 reads, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Right? Is my flesh. So you need to understand that God is talking about that living bread that is the flesh of the Lamb. And it is in that flesh of the Lamb that God fashions peace into us. Right? And that peace is fashioned as God perfects the Word of God into your life. As God perfects the Word of God into your life. That means the Word of God is going to be tried and tested in your life. And it's going to result in definite changes in your life. It's going to result in definite milestones in your life. It is going to manifest in definite victories in your life, indefinite achievements in your life, right? As you rise to occupy the position that God is building you for, right? You are a creature of destiny. And God is building you towards becoming that creature of destiny. Right? And this peace, whenever you have this peace, it represents the measure to which God has achieved something inside of you. And in that peace, the works of darkness that have constrained your life or have been a bondage over your life have been broken. And to the level at which it has been broken, the victory of the Lamb has been achieved in your life. But that victory is resultant, is manifested through what God has achieved in your life. Right? He takes you into new things into your life. Are you with me? Maybe He takes you into a business and He starts developing that business, and you realize that business grows, and God starts doing things that are far beyond what you thought should be done. And God starts training you and teaching you, right? How to draw from Him, how to live and function by faith, by trusting God instead of trusting your intelligence, right? You begin to discover that there are realities like God's favor, there are realities like the power of God, there are realities like God's provision, right? And you begin to understand that God is manifesting things in a million different ways because He is God. And in that whole process, He's teaching you how wonderfully you are fashioned and formed. How wonderful are the potentials in your life, right? Now all these things have to be tried and tested in your life. They can't just be simply be make-believe stuff, right? We cannot just simply say, I believe, and that's the end of it, right? It has to result in an evidence, right? Faith has an evidence. Faith is the substance of the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. And the substance of the hope that you have in Jesus Christ is His flesh. And that substance manifests inside of you in an evidence, and that evidence carries with it an aura of peace, right? And that evidence demonstrates in your life the victory of the Lord in your life. Now all of us sitting here have realized some measure of the Lord's victory in our lives, right? We have been changed. We have been genuinely changed. We have been set free from bondages. Our thought processes have been changed. Our character and our nature has been changed. Right? We have received anointings, we have received giftings, there are things we can do, there are things we can expect in God where we know and we know and we know God will come through. Now it has been a training process that has happened in a very mysterious way. But God has done a work inside of us. And in that work He has destroyed fear, He has destroyed condemnation, He has destroyed self-righteousness, He has destroyed pride, right? And these are the strongholds of the enemy in our lives, isn't it? Right? And as each one of those strongholds was broken, Satan was crushed under our feet. And so we begin to realize that God is doing a great work inside of us, right? He's fashioning and forming us, right? Grace upon grace, right? As we realize more and more of His grace, we begin to realize, right? What is grace? 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 14 says that grace is manifested in the faith and love of Jesus, isn't it? Right? Faith is manifested in the faith and love of Jesus. What is the faith of Jesus, right? The substance of His fullness. That is His flesh, right? And peace is manifested and we are changed, right? We are changed. And God is building us, right? He's building us. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, right? Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And what happens when Jesus becomes the author and finisher of our faith? Let's turn to Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, right? How are we justified by faith in terms of the substance, right? The substance that is of the Master's flesh. That's how we are justified. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, through our Lord Jesus Christ is a reality in substance and in witness, right? Substance, His flesh, witness, spirit, water, and blood. And that substance and that witness is the basis of covenant, right? Now, in the last series, when we did Yahweh Mukadesh, we introduced the Ark of the Covenant, right? And there were three things that were in the Ark of the Covenant. The tablets of the covenant, right? The jar of manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, right? Remember that? Hebrews chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. Correct? Praise the Lord. Yeah? So, the tablets of the covenant and the jar of the manna represent what? are tablets of our heart fashioned and formed in the flesh of the Lamb. What does the ark, what does the rod of Aaron represent? It represents the witness that God has ordained, right, in our lives. The witness that has been brought to fruitfulness in our lives. Correct? Now all this is happening inside of us. All this is part and parcel of what God means by covenant. And we can function in this covenant at the speed of thought, at the speed of intent, attitude, desire, imagination, object, purpose, and it's online. And you can exercise it in every area of your life, provided you have as the object of your life the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to understand this, right? That the intent of that covenant is so that you will lift up on high the name of Jesus. Because in the name of Jesus, this covenant will function. And Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, it will be done for you, it will be given to you. Right? John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. Right? So what is in his name? What is in his name is your heart and the witness inside of you. That is what is in his name. And if you can function in that heart and that witness, by this Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, you're functioning in covenant with the Lord your God. And it's online inside of you. And you're online with the living God. And you can take that reality of being online with the living God into every area of your life, whether it's your studies, whether it is your work, whether it's your profession, whether it is your business, right? Whether it's your role as a father, as your role as a mother, as a role as a son, whatever it is, in any area of your life, every expression of your life can be manifested from this witness. And it's meant to be manifested in a peace that declares that God has brought you to that point. So if you look at yourself today, right now, there is a certain measure of peace that God has already established inside of you. Right? That peace is the reality of what Jesus has achieved on the cross, being fulfilled in your heart, being fulfilled inside of you. That victory is the victory of the Lamb that the Holy Spirit has brought to fulfillment in your life. We are just at the beginning stages. But one day, if we read what Isaiah prophesied, he says that that peace is so strong that although the heavens and the earth may shake, that peace will still stand rock strong, right? Rock steady. Which is powerful, this peace, right? How powerful is this peace? Let's turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. From verse 19 and 20. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, that is in Jesus Christ, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So this reality of peace will one day permeate every reality in heaven and on earth. Just imagine that it is alive in each one of us. And from us it will be manifested to fill all in all. That's the job of the church, right? The church is the body of Christ, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So who has the fullness of him? The church. How do we have the fullness of him? In substance and in witness. Right? All of us have some measure of substance and witness already alive inside of us. And as God continues to mold us and shape us, as God continues to build the peace within us, he's building in us the fullness that is of Jesus Christ. Because that peace stands in the flesh of the Lamb. That peace stands in the blood of the Lamb. And blood is a witness within us. Can you see the picture? Right? It's very powerful because that peace, right, destroys every work of the enemy. Because in that peace, God says that Satan is crushed under our feet. Are you with me? Satan is crushed under our feet. To reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. The blood of his cross is a living witness.
And God is saying that where there is turmoil today, where we see so much of anger and so much of hatred and so much of lust and so much of greed and so much of wickedness and so much of destruction, one day there will be peace manifested, right? In a witness that radiates from the blood of the Lamb. And that witness is going to rise from amongst the church, the bride of the Lamb. Because we are the body of Christ. It is through the body that Jesus Christ is manifested. Can you see God's plan? Right? It is through the body that the fullness of Jesus Christ is manifested. So you and I need to understand that this is what God proposes to do ultimately. Praise the Lord. In Revelation 22 verse 1, you will see that this is going to be the manifestation that is going to bring healing to the nations. All right, let's turn to Revelation 22. After the new heavens and the new earth. And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. Who carries the tree of life? You and me. Right? The tree of life is the witness that we have. That witness in spirit, water, and blood. The witness that declares, I am the life. That's what Jesus said. I am the life. Amen? And that is the tree of life. It has a root, and that root is called the root of David. That growth of the tree is expressed in the offspring of David, and we are each the offspring of David. And each one of us carries a key of David. And in the key of David, we unlock the name of God. Right? It's a personal thing. You don't compete for it. You have to realize what God has opened to you. You don't try and compete with somebody else, or you feel jealous about somebody else. You just grow as the Lord wants you to grow. And God wants you to have the key of David that will unlock the name of God and manifest all that God has for you. That's why Jesus said, I am the door. And through this door you will go in and out and find pasture. Alright, so this is why it says it is the tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit. 12 represents the church. It represents the fruitfulness of the body of Christ, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his bond servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall no longer be any night, and they shall not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them. Right? How do you illumine someone? From inside out, right? And they shall reign forever and ever. Praise the Lord. So, God's on a unveiling a big plan. But the beginnings of that plan are being manifested in us as individuals today. There will come a time when it will be manifested collectively in a very powerful way. I think we are moving into that reality of beginning to see at least a portion of the body of Christ come together and manifest the magnificence of Jesus Christ as we learn how to demonstrate the awesome wonder of Him from each one of us. So, God's doing a mighty work, right? He's bringing forth a peace. That peace is going to be achieved in the flesh of the Lamb. And in that flesh of the Lamb, the law will be abolished. Abolished why? Because it has been brought to fulfillment. Right? Fulfillment how? Through the substance and the witness of the Lamb. Can you see that? And in the substance and witness of the Lamb, the law has been brought to fulfillment in a functional covenant inside of us. So the abolishment of the law is not a vacuum. The abolishment of the law results in something new. And what God is bringing forth as something new is this covenant of peace, right, that is being manifested within us in the flesh of the Lamb. So we are going to have hearts of flesh. Right? Hearts of flesh, written upon by the finger of God. We are each going to be epistles of Christ or letters of Christ. Amen? We are going to be servants of a new covenant. servants of a new covenant. Where do you find that? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Right. We're going to be servants of a new covenant. Right. 2 Corinthians. Let's read from verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. You are a letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. If you have a King James Bible, it says fleshly human hearts. And it then says, and such confidence we have through Christ towards God. How do we have through Christ? Because Christ is being formed in us. All right. How is he being formed in us? In substance and in witness. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. So sometimes when I counsel you, I talk about you realizing what God can do with you rather than what you can do in yourselves. Your adequacy must come from God. If you want to see new things in your life, if you want to see victory in your life, you have to realize your adequacy from God. Who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter. The letter was the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So if you attempt to live by the law, you will die by the law. But if you attempt to live by the Spirit in the name of Jesus, in this living witness of Spirit, water and blood within you, in a reality of the flesh of the Lamb that is being formed within you, you will rise as a new creation and come forth as sons of God. You will see the brilliance of God manifest in your life. When the brilliance of God comes, right, the works of darkness are destroyed. The works of darkness are eliminated. The strongholds of the flesh are broken, right? The foundations of sin are broken. That's the only way it can be broken. And so God is talking about this peace. And the hallmark of God's work in your life is this peace. This reality of being reconciled with God in an intimacy of a peace. So Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace, the Beloved of your heart. And in that reality of peace, God is bringing forth the work that is the work of God. You are being wrought in God. You are being fashioned in God. You are being brought forth as a new creation. So in the substance of the Master's fullness, God has the intent of equipping you with the fullness of Jesus Christ. So what is it you don't have? Jesus has it in abundance. And Jesus has it in perfection. Ultimately, if you keep thinking about it, you will find that you will surrender even your brilliance and receive the brilliance of Jesus Christ, because his brilliance is far greater than your brilliance or my brilliance. And so the Bible says you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, the workmanship of the living God, so that you can walk into the good works that God has ordained for your life. Amen? And this is what God is trying to do. So if you must be brave enough to trust God and walk into those things that God has for you. Those things that God has for you, so that your life will be manifested in God's victory. The victory of Jesus Christ on the cross has now got to be manifested in your life and my life. In every aspect of your life and my life. In every aspect of your being and my being. Right? What was demonstrated on the cross must ultimately translate to the human being. The totality of the human being. A brand new creation. Right? Everything that Jesus Christ expressed on the cross has to be translated into a totality that is alive in us. And God would have done an awesome work. So when you look at the cross, you see the character and nature of Jesus. You see his thought processes. You see his willingness to obey God. You see his willingness to love. You see his willingness to forgive. You see the reality of his faith. You see God rewarding him with the surpassing greatness of his power. Right? And you realize that all that Jesus achieved on the cross is to be manifested in your life and my life. And because it is a personal manifestation, because it is a personal manifestation based on our unique responses to Jesus Christ and God's unique purposes for each one of us, we all come forth as unique vessels of the fullness of Jesus Christ. We are not copies of each other. Right? So this awesome dynamic of the peace that God is talking about, the peace that comes to us in the flesh of the Lamb. Where was the flesh of the Lamb manifested to you? On the cross. As nails were driven into his body, as his body was torn, as he suffered, right? Jesus Christ manifested, right? Everything that you and I need in order to overcome the enemy's wiles in our life. So what is the task ahead of us, brethren? To bring Jesus into our lives so that the victory of Jesus Christ will be fully realized in each one of our lives. So that his death and his resurrection will be fully perfected and completed in each and every one of our lives. That's the peace that God is talking about. It is in that reality that we crush Satan under our feet. And don't you want to do that? More than anything else. I would love to have that. To see Satan crushed under our feet. Not just under your feet and my feet, our feet. Right? As the church across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile, in one flesh, the flesh of the Lamb, crushing Satan under our feet, destroying his every work, destroying his every reality, destroying his power of death, destroying everything by which he imprisons us. Destroying his every realm of influence, destroying every root of darkness, destroying every root of lawlessness, destroying every kind of evil and wickedness. Amen? Yeah. Right? So we have a great purpose. The victory has been won. We have to realize it. When we realize it, it manifests in a peace within us. It manifests in a peace in our nature and our character. No longer are we intimidated by what people say. No longer are we intimidated by circumstances and situations. No longer are we intimidated by what others do. And then you can begin to understand how Jesus Christ said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." That is power. That is real power. If we can think like that, God can manifest his glory. God can manifest the power that will turn water into wine. That will turn water into wine. Amen? That means the word water represents the word of God. Wine represents new life. The word will be turned into life through each one of us. So when we celebrate Holy Communion, the fruit of the vine, right? I will not drink of the fruit of the vine, right? Drink of the fruit of the vine. From the fruit of the vine, the fruit is crushed and the juice is taken. And he says, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Where is the kingdom of God? It is in us. It is amongst us. It is manifested through us. So where is the fruit of the vine? On the branches. And the wine comes out of the crushed fruit, right? And that's what we are called to realize. Praise the Lord. There is a battle to be fought. And we have to fight that battle. Well, how does God address Gideon? He says, you will go as one man and defeat Midian. So how are we going to defeat the works of the enemy as being one church, one body? That's why the devil spends so much of time dividing us. That's why the devil spends so much of time dividing man and wife, parents and children. What is he dividing? He's dividing the church. And so we have to really understand what are the forces that are working against us. And you must understand that the intent is to stop us from coming to be one. But we can be one if we realize of the fullness of Jesus Christ. If you can understand that simple reality of grace, right? Remember 1 John chapter 3 verse 3, which says, if you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are purified even as he is pure. How? Because if you set your hope on Jesus, the substance will be of him, and the substance of him will be pure. And if you and I can keep on fighting that battle of setting our hope on Jesus at all times, and not setting our hopes on ourselves or our strengths or techniques or methods or helps from other people. If we could just set our heart on Jesus. Now, when you set your heart on Jesus, Jesus can influence a whole bunch of people to come into your life. He can give you the wisdom to know the right techniques and all those kind of things. But you must understand that all those things are subordinate to Him. If you can give Him the preeminent position, you will realize the victory of the Lamb in your life. It will come. It has to come. It is written. It is written. And when it manifests in your life and my life, we will come forth as a new creation. And the hallmark of this new creation will be the reality of a growing peace in our inward parts. Praise the Lord. So to crush Satan as one man, one people, right? Praise the Lord. So that peace achieves that unity. Without that peace, we are not going to be in a unity. If we are still striving and fighting for things, if we are not at rest in God, then we cannot come into a unity. Right? So that unity is achieved through the flesh of the Lamb. Remember Ephesians 2:14 and 15. Right? The enmity of the law is abolished in the flesh of the Lamb. It cannot be done any other way. It cannot be done by clever organization and clever theorizing. It never come like that. It has to be manifested in a covenant of peace within you and me. And that covenant of peace is a covenant fashioned out of the flesh of the Lamb. Again, I will repeat this. The flesh of the Lamb is the substance of His fullness. His fullness represents His character, His nature, His witness, His testimony, His mind, His thoughts, His personality, His character. Right? All of His anointings in wisdom, knowledge and understanding, in courage, strength, the fear of the Lord, truth, a whole bunch of things. Right? And all that is available to us in substance. And what is available in us to us in substance is quickened by the Holy Spirit into a living witness that will enable us to function in partnership with our God all the time by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. So when God called out Abraham, when we did the name, covenant name El Shaddai, what did He say? Walk before Me and you be blameless, isn't it? And what did He say? I will make a covenant in your flesh, an everlasting covenant in your flesh. He was not talking about circumcision of the human sexual organ. He was talking about circumcision of the heart. Praise the Lord. And what did He tell Abraham? You shall be the father of nations. He changed His name from Abram to Abraham. Yeah? So we must understand. So we are also being changed. Right? We are becoming sons of God. And we will possess nations. Right? That's our destiny. Destiny in the merits of the Lamb. So we become servants of this covenant. Praise the Lord. So we serve that covenant that God has fashioned into our hearts. So always remember this. We are not on a competition with each other. All of us have an awesome potential in God. All of us have a position in God to be tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God. Let's turn to the book of Haggai. Haggai chapter 2. And look at what God is talking to Zerubbabel. From verse 4. Haggai chapter 2, verse 4 to verse 9. But now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And all you people of the land, take courage, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. As for the promise which I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst, do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also and the dry land. And I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house, and we are in the latter glory of this house. The temple that Zerubbabel built is finished. But the temple that God is building, with each one of us as building blocks, the later glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I shall give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. In this place I shall give peace. So we carry the peace of God. If you're going to see peace in humanity, that peace is going to flow out of the church. It's going to flow out of the body of Christ. It's going to flow out of our conviction of the Prince of Peace as the beloved of our hearts. So you have a task, I have a task. Make sure you fulfill your task. Right. And then when it's our time to hand the baton over to somebody else, right, we have to plant the right seeds that the baton will be passed, right, and they will continue to build. They will continue to build. So we have to work. Right? We have to work, not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And this work is a rest in your insides. This work will result in a peace when you have achieved something. It's a growing peace. And as the peace inside of you grows, the hallmarks of the Lord in your life are growing. Your position in the mount of the Lord is growing. You are rising in authority in the kingdom of God. So always remember this, right? Authority in the kingdom of God does not come from man-made positions or organizationally given positions, right? Authority in the kingdom of God comes from your position in the mount of the Lord. And there's no limit to each and every one of us having a position in the mount of the Lord. It keeps on growing because God is most high, Yahweh Elyon. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord, that you are Yahweh Shalom, Father. And the reality of being Yahweh Shalom, you mean to manifest Shalom into our hearts, in substance and in a witness. A Shalom, O God, that is indestructible, Father. A Shalom, O God, that represents, O God, the victory of our God in our lives. And we thank you that that Shalom, O God, is a manifestation of the flesh of the Lamb in our inward parts. The fulfillment of the law and the prophets, Lord. And we thank you that as you build our hearts as a heart of flesh, we thank you, Lord, that you mean to manifest, O God, a victory in which all of the works of darkness will be ultimately annihilated and destroyed. And we give you glory and honor for the victory that is being achieved in our lives. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we set our hope on him, Father, we know that the substance of him, perfected in our lives, perfected in our actions, perfected in our undertakings, will demonstrate, O God, that we are indeed sons of the living God. A great victory has been achieved in our lives. And as the Lord our God declares through the Apostle Paul, and we will soon crush Satan under our feet, Lord. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. So Yahweh Shalom, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for your purpose in our lives. We bless you. We look forward to fully realizing this victory, to see Satan crushed under our feet, to see, O Lord, him trampled under us, O Lord, in every situation and circumstance of our life. Let your glory come. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place in our hearts, because it is you as reigning King that is going to enable us to crush Satan under our feet. We give you the glory, the honor, the worship, and the praise, Lord. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you have manifested into our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.